We all love to rock out to a great drum groove, right? You know, but there are certain songs that just instantly turn you into Neil Peart or John Bonham. You know, there's those songs. And the next thing you know, the arms are flailing all around, and you've got a serious case of stank face. Well, if you can relate, then you're going to love this week's show, because we're going to tell you all about the greatest air drum songs of all time. Stick around. Get ready to rock out with your talk out. It's the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Everybody, it is the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. My name is Lou Lombardi, a.k.a. Ludini. Please check out loulombardimusic.com. We're giving away a free EP right now. And it's also going to give you access to our private Facebook group and my email list and a lot of cool stuff that you're absolutely going to love. And you get to hear about new music and be alerted every time one of these crazy podcasts come through. And, you know, I keep forgetting to mention this, guys, but it's really important that if you like what you're doing, leave a review wherever you listen. So if you listen on Spotify, you listen on Apple, you listen on Amazon, wherever, give us a review. I'm neglecting good podcasting procedure, I'm being told, by not asking for fans to please give reviews. If you give a cool review, let us know. Send me a screenshot, and I will, not only will I read your review on the air, I will set it to music. I'll make some riff out of it. You're going to love it. So give me a review, and I'll give you a riff. How's that sound?
That's fun.
Riff for a review. Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Go to loulombardimusic.com.
Where am I going to go to?
What?
Well, I'll do it. Where do I got to go to?
Wow.
Please check out Wolf's Customs.online. They're great guys. Chris Thunderwolf Dotson and Raven have been great supporters of the show for a while now, and we really appreciate them. Guys, let me know when your T-shirts get there, please, so that I know that you got them and everything. But check them out. If you need great custom artwork done on one of your musical instruments, Wolf's Customs is the place to get it done. You can send it out. Your stuff's in good shape. I mean, Keith sent a drum to them, you know, that came back and everything. It was all cool. So they can work that way. You'll get it back COVID-free, and it'll be awesome. It'll look great, and you can do it on any kind of musical instrument. So check it out. And he also kind of gives you a few extra bonuses from what I heard with that. So you want to go to wolfscustoms.online. Speaking of wolfscustoms.online, we've got one of their customers is one of our co-hosts, Mr. Keith the Hawk Hawkins. What's up, Hawkenheimer? What's going on?
Yeah, what's going on? You know, it's getting cold here in New Orleans, believe it or not. It's probably in the got to be in the 40s now, which is cold for here, because you know, I walked around last night to go to a rehearsal. Actually, they're still around, not gigs but rehearsals, and people are dressed up like it's fucking Alaska. It's amazing. And I'm rolling in like shorts and a t-shirt, because you know, that's how I roll, because I'm from PA, man. I can take the cold.
Well, you know, it's only, you know, though, you were kind of making a face, Lily, but it's really only about 10 degrees colder here.
Yeah, I know, but we also have 16 million pounds of snow outside.
Yeah, we got a big snowstorm.
When'd that happen?
Today.
About midnight. Yeah, it's been snowing ever since.
Yeah, it's supposed
How much you got so far?
What, 4 or 5 inches?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Annoying. It's annoying. I hate it.
It's been going real steady, like, all day. So it isn't, like, all at once. You know what I mean? It's kind of been just kind of slowly building up, but... So,
I almost died in the yard.
Yeah, you also get weather reports here at the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. So nobody gives a crap about the weather. Lily, what's going on? Lily is wearing some beautiful, what is this, a shawl?
Oh, this is my kimono.
Kimono.
Yes. My leopard kimono.
Nice.
Yes. I went to a fun show at Rinky Dinks over the weekend on Saturday to go see Rough Creek. I'm not super into country. I do like Rough Creek, though. And I ran into Pittsburgh legend Donnie Iris sitting at the table right next to me. So we sat there and talked for a minute, got a picture, and we enjoyed the show all together.
Get out of town.
I swear. Good times. I got a picture with him.
Oh. What was he doing there, just hanging out?
He was there hanging out, watching the show. Just chilling with his lady.
Very good.
Right. I just so everybody knows, I'm just going to say it again. We're having technical difficulties with the Inner Circle group. I'm getting texts from people. Go over to facebook.com/RockRageLive, and you'll be able to hang out with us. Not technical guilties, technical difficulties.
Also, Chris said he got the shirts. So.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I ran an impromptu contest just real quick through email just to see if people were paying attention. Sent out a couple of t-shirts. So, anyways, guys, we're going to be we're talking about, you know, air drum, right? There's air guitar. We'll have to do an air bass thing.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know.
We'll have to do an air bass thing maybe in the spring.
Can we do air triangle?
No.
Cowbell.
So, anyways.
It's a joke.
We could, so air drums. So, there are songs, right? And we're going to talk about some of them. I know a lot of you are probably, you know, yelling at the, at your, whatever you're listening to this on right now, you know, I'm sorry, and you're right, you know, whatever you're yelling.
Sick.
So we're going to be, you know, we're going to be talking about your favorites, I promise. And it's just some ones maybe you didn't realize too, and just some of the ones that kind of get us going that we enjoy jamming out to. So this is what we're doing. And who wants to start? Who's ready to go?
Oh, I'm ready. I'm ready to go.
Always, you know, we always go ladies first, man.
All right.
Lou.
He means me. just to preface this whole thing in my whole research of air drumming, I learned a little bit about drum patterns because I didn't realize that was a thing because I am not a musician. And for a song to be air drummed, often the pattern needs to be powerful and memorable. So that is a thing. I just air drum to things that I air drum to,
okay.
Which is the typical songs that everybody will probably have on their list. But I learned a little bit today while doing my research. So with that, I'm going to start. I'm going to go with Aerosmith's Walk This Way first.
Oh, good one.
Originally released as a single from Toys in the Attic, and then, of course, in 75, and then, of course, re-released in, what was that, 90-something by Run DMC. It helped the band break into mainstream and later revive their career. This is one of the ones I do in the car. I'm a car performer while it like lights and stuff. So that's the one I air drum to. To get the specifics, which I don't even know what any of this means, it starts out with a memorable two-measure drum beat by Joey Kramer. And he was actually asked to just lay down something flat and groove on the drums. So that's how they come about with that.
I absolutely love that intro. I think it's cool. It's, you know,
it's memorable. So that's one of
Keith,
the ones I do.
As our resident drummer, would you like to comment on Walk This Way?
It's not on my list, but I mean, it's a memorable intro for sure. It's probably one of those ones that I think that I would purposely, when I was given lessons in Pittsburgh, I would purposely show like most kids that right out of the gate, because I think it's a song that probably everybody knows. And it also has what they call syncopation in it, where you actually have to play the bass drum separate from the hi-hat. So you get a little syncopation going on. So it's like a little off the beat bass drum pattern. So it's something I think could challenge a beginner player. And I think it's a memorable drum groove, and it's infectious, man. That's probably one I didn't think of. And it obviously was made even twice famous by the Run DMC version too. So
sort of revived their career there that was going in the paper.
My cocaine's a hell of a drug.
All right, legit.
All right. Do you want to? What, since you're already sitting there, jaw jacking, Mr. Hawkins, is there a drum groove you would like to talk about? An air drum groove?
I'm going to start with something like we're going to say that it's going to be air drum for beginners. So we're going to start with a classic anthem, but one everybody can gravitate towards. And it's We Will Rock You by Queen. I mean, it's just something everybody can just get that, you know, that it's three notes. Boom, boom, crack. That's all it is. It's just, that's all it is. I mean, it's, everybody can do that one. So just everybody drum along. And it's just, it's an anthem song. And it's, you know, it's one that just kind of stands the test of time. You always hear it at sporting events or concerts or whatever have you.
And everybody knows it. And everybody participates.
There isn't much to that song other than the vocal.
No.
You know, just that. I mean, until it's that carries the whole song. It's very cool.
just that beat the whole freaking way through, and then the guitar busts in, and Brian May does his thing for just a short amount of time. Then it goes into "We Are the Champions." So it's just one of them songs that I think is just a great classic track. It's easy to gravitate towards with the rhythm, the simple rhythm being played, and it's one that I think everybody can air drum to and have a good time with. So we'll start with that one. That's Air Drumming for Beginners 101.
That was on my list.
There you go. That was on your list. Mm-hmm. I'm going to pick one that I don't know how many songs here are sort of that people hit the hi-hat with, but that's what everybody does. When the riff kicks into this, goes, and this is War Pigs by Black Sabbath.
That is also.
And it's funny, people just want to like hit that hi-hat, you know, along with Bill Ward. You just can't help yourself. When the song comes on, you all of a sudden you're playing a hi-hat. You don't know how to play any other drum, but you can play the damn hi-hat to that. And it's really cool. Like I don't know this for sure, but it seems like the kind of thing a band would do, because there's these long breaks between the band. You know, the band has to just kick in on these certain beats, and it seems like something the band would say to the drummer, "Hey, can you play something so that we don't get all jacked up here and miss our cues?" So, you know, so it's just like something that like Bill Ward probably put in there to keep them together, so they would know after so many that the guitar and bass would kick, and it turned out to be like a huge part of the song. It's like really important. It's loud in the mix. I mean, it's not like something that's like buried, it's like right out there.
Yeah, the timing cue is the hi-hat lift. It's the way he opens it, and as soon as that open comes, you know you're back to the one, and you're hitting that just two more.
That's
staccato.
Right. I did do it in the band, and that's what we did. We listened for that the hi-hat to open.
Once you hear that hi-hat opening and a hi-hat bark or opening or lift, whatever you want to call it, it's coming right back into the two choked beats in the beginning of the beat. So that's one. Once you listen to that, all he's playing is that straight tempo. Then all of a sudden, when he hits that lift, you're going right to the top again. So yeah, I think that song actually goes from you keeping that steady time going through, but then there's so many freaking fills in that song that you can just go. That's the whole song. Through it.
That is a really good point too. It does have great fills.
I mean, there's fills all over that song. I mean, he just basically, I think they just said Bill just overplayed the entire time, and that's what he did.
It is a just an absolute classic song by the band, of course, Black Sabbath. The original title of War Pigs was Wall Purges.
Uh-huh.
Dealing with witches. Wall Purges is sort of like Christmas for Satanists.
Oh.
Geezer Butler said that he felt that War was like the really big Satan. So it kind of got modified. It wasn't about politics or government or anything. It was evil itself. So I was saying generals gathered in their masses, just like witches at black masses, to make an analogy. But when we brought it to the record company, they thought Wall Purges sounded too satanic. And that's when we turned it into War Pigs.
Yeah, I like the War Pigs name better. I don't think I would like it.
That other one is a little too complex for me.
Yeah, I don't like it.
There's not a real ring to it, if you know what I mean.
Great song from the it's opening track of their 1970 album, Paranoid. Great.
Good stuff. Good song. Classic metal.
Yep. Go ahead, Lily.
I also have on my list that I perform in my car, because that's what I do, Golden Earrings, Radar Love, released on 1973 on Moontan. The intro alone, it's super catchy, snare drum, sort of sets the pace, and then they do, what I read was the drum beat is doubled to give the impression that the tempo has sped up in the song. I don't know, is that a thing? Sure. I guess, but this is one of the ones I do. I think it's catchy, hooky, unmistakable. People know it. So, yeah.
Want to talk about it?
Rob probably wouldn't have thought of, but I mean, yeah, it's got that, it's almost like a little train beat going on. It's a little swung, more swung than I guess a country train beat would be. There's some cool versions of it out there. I think that you get actually in that song too, not only do you get the cool intro, you get a nice little break in the middle and an actual drum break too, and several versions I've heard. Not only Golden Earring, White Lion's done a version with like a really cool drum break in it. It's got like a jazzy outro that comes in, and it does switch to like, you know, more of a double time feel at the end and gives it that lift, we'll call it. So it has a whole smorgasbord of dynamics in that song. We'll go for it then.
I had it confused with the other Golden Earring song.
The other one?
Twilight Zone?
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. Huh. I was like, you were saying Radar Love, but I was thinking Twilight Zone.
You had a look of confusion on your face there for a second.
Oh, okay. Now I get...
I mean, sometimes I ask myself the same question in that song is, where am I to go now that I've gone too far?
Nice.
That is a legit question.
That is a good question.
Okay. Guys, I apologize. I had...
You're drinking that cough syrup again.
Yeah, I was drinking a cough syrup, and I didn't know syrup and coffee would taste so good. I'm just kidding. You know what that's from?
No.
It's from Elf. Elf, not Alf, Elf.
Elf.
Somebody trying to get in. We're being invaded.
It's a kitty cat.
Probably.
Good.
It's Kevin, probably.
Pittsburgh, Kevin.
Where's he been?
What do you got? What do you got, Keith? What do you want to talk about? What's the next?
I'm gonna go. One that's not really probably on everybody's rocker list, but this one can't be denied. I mean, it's a drummer song. It's one of the ones that put drumming, like, probably in a pop sensibility on the map. It wasn't, like, you know, in a jazz sense, which is, you know, could be a huge, you know, that could cover a whole other topic there, because there's a ton of, like, great jazz intros drum-wise. But this one has more of a surf rock feel, and it's the Safari's Wipeout, because Wipeout is just one of the songs that just... I think everybody can gravitate towards, even if you don't, I mean, it's a simple pattern, but it's just one of them ones that just goes and it played over and over again. And it's like ones you hear, like, at, again, you hear at venues being played at concerts or, you know, sporting events or whatever. And it's a song that I think has stood the test of time. And it just kind of has that, like, cool vibe to it. Definitely a surfer groove going on, but the break in the song is, you know, it's iconic. I mean, like I said, doesn't have to be complex to be cool, so anybody that thinks that is a jackass.
Wow.
You can quote me on that.
All right. I guess it's my turn. Jeez. I have so many good ones here. I hope that I don't steal somebody's thunder.
You're gonna, because you already stole one of mine.
Okay, but I'm gonna say this one, and maybe Keith can chime in on this too, because I think it's the one Keith probably really likes. This was the second single from Paul Simon's fourth studio album, Still Crazy After All These Years, released on Columbia Records. Backing vocals on the single were performed by Patty Austin, Valerie Simpson, and Phoebe Snow. Song features a recognizable repeated drum riff performed by one of the greatest drummers in the world. I'm sure Hawk would agree, Steve Gadd. This is one of Simon's most popular singles. 50 Ways was released in 1975, began to see chart success within the new year, became Simon's sole number one hit as a solo artist on the Billboard Hot 100 in the United States, and was his highest position in France, where it peaked at number two. Elsewhere, the song was the top 20, Canada, New Zealand, etc. Single certified gold by the Record Industry Association of America, denoting sales of over 1 million copies. And right, Keith, isn't that is it when somebody says, hey, can we check the drums, please? Isn't that the very popular beat for drummers to play?
Yeah, and most of them massacre the shit out of it anyways. The fact is, I mean, all kidding aside, Steve Gadd is probably one of my Mount Rushmore drummers, if I had to pick. He's influenced, you know, every style of music there is. He's played every goddamn style of music. He's an amazing player, but I think what get Steve his more, you know, the recognition and attention he deserves is his touch on the drums. No matter who plays that groove, it doesn't sound like Steve Gadd. You cannot do it. That sound of that drum groove cannot be replicated. I don't give a shit who you are. It's not going to be replicated unless you're Steve. You have to play it very soft, and he does very little cool, intricate things. Now, the story behind that drum groove goes, that it was actually an accident. This is what I read years ago, where he was just having trouble. Paul Simon didn't really know what he wanted for the song, so Steve was just messing around between takes, and he did something, and it was ended up being that beat, and Paul Simon was like, whatever that is, do that, and they kind of just morphed it into the thing, which is, to this day, it's, I mean, it's the probably a top two iconic drum grooves of all time. I mean, you could say a lot of other ones, but I mean, it's in there in the mix with whatever else. And the cool thing about that song is you don't have to be this like metalhead rocker dude that a lot of you might be listening to the show. It's that one just transcends everybody. It just goes and goes and goes. If you're a drummer, you're going to love it. The person that's not a drummer, most people aren't drummers. They want to be, but you know, it's not for everybody. It's pain, it's hell, but we'll get into that later. But the intricacy right. of that whole thing is where, like I said, Steve Gadd's brilliance is just like sometimes just that just amazing, just that flows out of people sometimes. And it's just there are certain drummers that just have that touch and feel that he has. And that's, like I said, it's not going to be replicated. And it's, but it's still up there with any iconic drum groove. It's, I don't know. It's legendary, man. What can I say? I'm getting choked up.
Oh, all right. Let's give Keith a little break. Let's go back to Lily.
Lily, I'm gonna do a
in her kimono.
In my
her Komodo dragon. No, this is actually leopard skin.
Yes, it's a leopard.
But it's kimono. Not made from a real leopard.
No, it's made from probably cotton. I don't know. It's got pockets though.
Cotton Eye Joe.
It's got pockets.
That's my
favorite pocket.
I like having pockets on my kimono.
It's got pockets.
Anyway.
It's got it all in a pocket.
Oh, boy. Speaking of British, I'm going to go with an obvious one, Iron Maiden's Run to the Hills.
Good one. It's on my list, too.
It's also a car performing song. You shouldn't really drive your car really fast and drum at the same time. It's really a bad idea. That's also one of my fast-driving car songs.
We're going to count. By the way, just real quick to clarify with everybody, if you're a steering wheel tapper, it's the same thing.
Legit. Okay. So a lot of people think this is like just an intro air drumming song. I think it's a whole song air drumming song.
Oh, yeah.
To me.
It's like,
yeah, the whole time. Because Clive Burr is just like, he's literally a beast on this song. Number of beasts. He's literally a beast on this song the whole way through, and I do the whole thing the whole way through, even though I am not a drummer, and I'm sure I'm botching the hell out of this song, but I don't really care because who's watching me? Nobody. Exactly. So, yeah, 1982. Their first single, and Bruce, my boy, is on vocals for the first time, first single, so yay.
I'm actually impressed that you know it was Clive Burr, not Nicky McBrain. Very good.
I know my Iron Maiden.
Hey, that's good, man. Hey, I'm not prepared. Like I said, sometimes people just get on this thing where it's like Iron Maiden, and they oh, that's got to be Nicky McBrain, but it's not.
Yeah. That's one of my bands, so.
Aww.
There was, to be honest with you, there was a time in my life where I thought Iron Maiden was the Cat's Meow, man.
I have an obsession with that band.
They're great. I mean,
why
I like
just marry them, Keith, okay? Just marry them.
What's that?
Just marry Iron Maiden then if you love them so much.
I don't want to do that. I'm not gay.
It's the wrong gender for him.
Hey, man, not in today's world. You can marry whoever you want.
Pretty sure Keith's into women.
I got enough. One's enough, man. Trust me, because that's a fucking handful. Trust me.
Are you in a different room tonight?
She's not even here.
Okay. Because she usually comes home.
She works later now. She started another job, and she's like the closer now.
I'm glad you're like putting her to work, man. Good for you. I respect
her. Samantha's always worked, man. She can't sit around. You know that, like, for a time there when COVID first hit and either one of us weren't working? Swords were out, man.
Was she learning?
Swords were out.
Was she losing her mind? Because I'm losing my mind only being part-time.
Yeah, it sucks. Out. And I don't, like I said, I unfortunately hate to be the bearer of bad news. I just don't know if it's going to get any better anytime soon.
No, legit.
So what's next on your list, Keith?
You talking to me?
I'm talking to you, huh?
All right, let me see here.
Pick something good. Don't do any BS. Learn something good.
No Steely Dan tonight. All right, another simple one, but I think that everybody gravitated towards this one, too. Back in Black. If you can't air drum to that shit is just, that's so simple, but so pocket oriented. Phil Rudd sounds amazing on that record. It's just one of those, it's one of my, like, personal favorite drummer, because there's an art to that kind of playing, and I think that everybody can just go, just tap that hi-hat intro, and then once that comes in, that you could just jam your ass off to that. And you can also, you know, most, if not all, AC/DC songs have that simple pocket kind of feel, and I think that once you can get the hang of that simplicity like that, you could probably air drum to every AC/DC song if you want.
Well, I definitely see people air drumming to Back in Black. I've definitely seen that many times. And I think maybe because it starts with the drums. You know, it starts with that hi-hat, and it's very prominent. Yeah. It's not, again, it's not something they bury. They put it, like, right out there, you know. So,
no, like I said, any friggin' monkey can sit there and just tap out that, you know, that eight count. So it's when it comes in, that's a song that instantaneously, as soon as you hear it, I mean, as soon as that hi-hat comes in, you're like, what's going to happen here? Then once that hits and that riff comes in, you're like, oh shit. So yeah, it's one of them. It's a timeless track. It's a great album. And I think that, you know, he's a great drummer. I mean, it's like I said, there's an art to playing like that. It's an art that I don't really paint with, but I mean, it's, you know, it's something that I think that is very like, there's something about it I have to respect, because I wouldn't want to play like that. I don't, but I think that it's, that simplicity is just amazing, that just be that restrain to play hardly anything, just make a statement still. That's hard to do.
The next one on my list is I'm getting away from simple, but this is the only drum solo that this drummer ever recorded. And it is a very short solo, but it's very, very memorable. In fact, it's so good and so uncharacteristic of this drummer that many people thought that the bass player, who sometimes played drums in this band, actually played this drum solo. But it is not. It is the one and only Ringo Starr, and that is the drum solo on the end. It is...
Your double Ringo?
It's very cool. That is Ringo, and it's very cool. And you know it, like, because the end is such a cool song, and there's a drum solo, like, right at the beginning of it, and you find yourself, because he keeps that kick drum, boom, 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 you know, he does those little, just, and it's not real involved, but you find yourself with your hands.
You want to go out, and next thing you know, you want to go out and, you know, buy a kit and just try to play it.
Yeah, it's very joyful. The song is kind of, even though the song's called The End, it has a kind of very kind of joyful sound to it. And the drum solo gives it this really kind of like super fun feel to it. Also, on a more technical note, Ringo's drums on that sound really, really cool. The drums are all tuned kind of loose and very ringy. Which is different than what they had been. Well, most of the records, they have that kind of deadened sound that, you know, with all the dampening, they would put this.
That's felt. Tiles, man.
Yeah, they would do all that. And on this, if you listen, all the drums, got, even the bass drum is boom, 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 has a real nice ring to it. And now, it's almost in, but not quite, just because of that, has almost that kind of John Bonham kind of sound with the kind of bigger, kind of boomier kind of drums. So, which is really cool. It's, like I said, it's a little it's uncharacteristic for Ringo, and it's uncharacteristic for the Beatles, and it's the last song on their last album. And it's called The End. And
very fitting. Ringo was going out with a bang, he said.
Yep, he did. He went out with a bang.
Literally.
So it's very cool. And if you haven't listened to it in a while, check it out. I heard it a few times over the weekend on the Beatles station on Sirius. It's very cool. What do you got, Lily?
I'm going to go with Pantera's Walk from Vulgar Display of Power, 1993. Vinnie Paul on the toms and the...
Rest in Peace.
Yes, rest in peace. Basic backbeat on the hats. I think this song is powerful with the drums, so I feel like this is a good air drumming song. Didn't do that till today when I listened to it, but I could see me doing it like all the time.
Absolutely, I've air drummed to this many times. It's almost impossible not to air drum to this. The guitar riff is very simple, and the bass riff is very simple, but that the way those drums are, man, like, you know,
it's a super just in your face song.
I mean, you're just like. doing the whole thing, man. I definitely air drum to that. I always have. I think that's a badass song. I think it's a good choice.
Yeah, well, once you like start to break down what he's doing, I mean, he just basically plays a simple like quarter note, 1, 2, 3, 4. That's what makes that shit so big and heavy sounding. There's the two things in metal you get away with. You can play a big fat quarter note on a cymbal, no matter what it is, or like play a halftime beat. That shit becomes instantly heavier. You don't have to even be a metal band. You play in halftime or put a big sloshy quarter note up there on a hi-hat or a china or anything. All of a sudden, you're getting heads bobbing. I'm telling you, that's the way it rolls.
What's next on your list, Keith?
We're going to talk about Mr. Bonzo. We could probably do a whole friggin' chapter on that.
I have it on my list, but I'll let you bring it up.
It might not be the same one. I mean, we're going to have to go with When a Levee Breaks, because When a Levee Breaks is probably the greatest rock drum group of all time.
I agree,
you can also
man.
Go with, you know, even though it's just an intro to rock and roll, you see people going along too. Kashmir's great. I mean, you could do a whole freaking...
There's a whole podcast on this drummer.
Yeah, there's a whole podcast. I could do a four-hour Bonzo thing if you want. But I digress. This is one of his... I mean, like I said, it doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to be technical to be awesome. That shit just sounds good.
Legit.
I've said this, and I have absolute proof of it. When the Levee Breaks by Led Zeppelin is the kryptonite to every drummer. Every drummer I've ever been around, and if the song comes on the radio or something, like they could be in mid-sentence, whatever. It's like freeze frame. They stop, and it's like we have to have a moment of silence for this song. Because it's like, and it is awesome.
Wait, haven't you experienced Keith?
Yeah, Keith's done it a couple of times.
Oh, I've done it, yeah. I've definitely lost. I could be in the middle of, whatever. And,
Gary Matassa was like that too, man. It's all you had to do is put on When the Levee Breaks, man. It could be a middle sentence and... Yeah, it's just not like that. It's just so awesome. It's epic, dude. That is just epic. Like, that's one of the most epic drum things ever.
I could be the goddamn funeral reading a eulogy or something. I'd be like, wait, hold on a minute. That shit's crazy. Just wait.
Nobody
one
can
minute.
Talk When the Levee Breaks is playing. I have that on my list, and I have it a slash. And I did this with a couple of songs. I put like a slash.
For a second song,
for like
with
a second
band.
Song or a song that was related, and I put in "Fool in the Rain." I see
that's
a lot
another,
of
that's another one. That's a
that's
great
a
one too.
Killer groove, and it's an unusual Led Zeppelin song from a very unusual Led Zeppelin album. John Paul Jones is really featured, really great, really really prominently on that record with his piano playing.
Yeah.
Songwriting. A lot of those riffs are more John Paul Jones, but Jimmy Page does come in with an absolute guitar solo playing the MXR Blue Box, which was a brand new effect at that time that nobody had used yet. And, he was a real innovator. And so everything about the song is great. But, yeah, Bonzo's drum beat on that is absolutely amazing. Who's next? Me?
We're pulling out the Party Shuffle on that.
Yeah.
It's definitely R&B influence that he listened to, like a lot of different kinds of music. That R&B influence from Bernard Purdy.
The Purdy Shuffle, yeah. Well, we could talk about the... we'll get into that in a little while. What do you got, Lily?
I got Van Halen's Hot for Teacher.
Oh, yeah.
1984. I mean, the 30-second intro alone, you could go ahead and just drum solo that whole thing. So it's a fun pattern. So I'm told, and hence the reason it is air drummed. It's a fun song anyway, though.
Again, the Beatles started out with in the end with the drum solo. And Van Halen starts out Hot for Teacher, and both have this very up, fun kind of feel to it. Very cool.
Good stuff.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's definitely an iconic intro. I think it would make my list. I think that the beginning song great. I mean, it's, definitely a studio vibe going on there. There's some, like, I've seen some clips of them playing it live. Hey, seen some clips of playing it live, and he kind of has to strip it down a little bit more. I think that what people miss in the whole like vibe of that song is where when it actually does kick in, he's doing what they call a shuffle beat, and the thing is clocked at like 250, 260 beats per minute. That's pretty impressive. So, I mean, that's just, but it's like I said, it's definitely an iconic groove. I think that every drummer probably should give it a whack once in a while. So, you know, just to try it, you know, and just see where it takes you.
Yeah.
I mean, again, that song's, you're not going to make that song sound like that. There's a lot of like things going on where they're doing a lot of,
there's all kinds of other stuff going on.
Yeah. I mean, it's awesome. And I think that it's probably his, like, it's his swan song, you know, it's just something that, you know, cause Eddie obviously, you know, overtook the band, and Eddie was the focal point of the band. But I mean, and his guitar playing is, you know,
right,
always gonna be iconic. But Alice got his moment there, man.
Yeah, where, no, I totally agree. What would you?
He wasn't playing a backbeat there. He was actually throwing down some shit. So.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Yeah, very cool. And it was a huge pop hit and giant video on MTV. So, who says you can't get good music out there when you try? What do you got? What's on your? What's next, Keith? What do you got on your list?
I'm gonna go with one of the probably great bands of all time, and I think a band that started out in the 80s, and this is a fairly early song for them, and I think that once you hear the intro, which it does start with the drums, you just have to kind of like drum along, and it's Sunday Bloody Sunday by U2. Mm-hmm. Larry Mullen Jr. is like nice two hands on a hi-hat like he likes to do at times, got that nice broken up pattern. It's just a very cool intro that I think kind of just builds the dynamics of the song. But I think that once again, he's known for more of a simple player, but I think he actually puts his stamp on that song. I think if you actually played a different groove on that song, like more something simpler than what he does, it would suck. Like that drum groove makes that freaking tune.
Yeah, a good point. And it starts out with a really great drum beat. Yeah, it's very iconic. It's kind of like the drum beat for Walk This Way or whatever, you know what I mean? So
yeah, as soon as you hear it, you know, you recognize, it's recognizable. I mean, as soon as you hear it, you know what's up.
On my list next, I have so many,
so many things. Then.
But I'm going to just go ahead and talk about this one. I'm sure this is on all three of our lists. But I'm just going to talk about it, and all three of us can talk about it. Okay? And I want to talk about In the Air Tonight by Phil Collins. I have a very distinct memory of this song, and it was 1982, 1983, 1981.
That song. Yeah.
And I was just starting to listen to music, and DVE was playing like the early Van Halen stuff and Led Zeppelin and Steppenwolf and Deep Purple and, you know, music that, you know, some more current stuff as well, you know, Journey. And all of a sudden, this thing comes on the radio. I'm like, what the hell is this?
So not like all those
other bands. Sounded nothing like anything else. And I remember thinking, because I was really getting into music at the time, and I was paying attention to things like how things were mixed and drum sounds and stuff like that. And I remember going like, the drums are really loud in this. Like, the other instruments are like kind of, they're kind of just like a background. It's like, you know, and even the DJ said, yeah, the last song there, that was that guy in the drum corner, Phil Collins from Genesis. That's his, you know, solo song, and it's, you know, and really cool. I'm like, and after that song, like, changed the sound of drums, like, the next day. Like, all of a sudden, everybody had that big gated snare, and drums all of a sudden became way more prominent in the mix in pop music. Like, it's like you know, all the sound engineers went, yeah, maybe we can turn the drums up a little bit more, you know. And so you got these like records like with these like really huge drum sounds for like the next 10 years. But that was, I feel like that's really the beginning of that, was that Phil Collins doing that song. It's amazing, dude. Like, what do you think of that song, Keith?
I think it's one of them songs that definitely is probably number one on a lot of people's list. I see it, you know, it's so effective how the loop, the program loop comes, does pretty much the entire song. Until that middle section comes in, where actually the acoustic drums do enter, then it plays throughout the outro of the song. But once you hear that fill, that's such a statement that everybody knows that shit. So once you hear that, then he starts playing, you know, and he goes into like more of a backbeat thing. The cool thing about that song is he doesn't really even go ever to the hi-hat. There's no hi-hat. He just plays it between the kick snare. That's it. So when he does a bunch of fills, but you don't hear like a lot of hi-hat ring, because you watch him play it, you could YouTube him playing a video of it and singing it. He never plays the hi-hat on that song.
It just comes in.
Yeah, he just comes in and just plays, and he just plays that kick snare after that. He plays ghost notes on the snare, a lot of cool stuff, a lot of cool fills after that. But everybody knows that trademark fill. It's the Phil Collins fill. I mean, it's Phil's fill. But it's like I said, it was cool because you knew sometimes once you heard that song too, the 80s also were taking on a different like kind of program beats compared to the acoustic thing. So that was kind of mixing and matching the best of both worlds there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really, it's, I just remember hearing those drums on, you know, when he comes into the last verse and just being like, what in the hell? So what about you? Did you want to talk about this? I'm sure it's on your list.
It is. It's on my list. It is one of the most air drum songs of all time. And the anticipation up to the drum part is probably like the worst part when you're listening to it, because it's like a 3.5 minute freaking intro before he even does the drums, which is the part that everybody wants to do in the song. And what sort of resuscitated this song a little bit for younger people was the movie The Hangover, when Mike Tyson did the drum solo, which was great. And then he even made all the boys wait before they talked to him so he could do the drum solo and at the end punch the guy in the face. But yeah, it's Ozzy even called it the drum fill the best ever. It still sounds awesome. So
yeah, it's very cool. There's some acoustic versions of it out there. And just to give the devil, just to give Phil Collins his due as a songwriter, it sounds good as an acoustic song. It's like when you take all that away and you just, there's some versions of him just like playing the piano and singing it. And you're like, it's a solid tune. It's just like,
yeah, I mean, that's a good tune. Like you can't really, I mean, a great tune is a great tune. You can make any kind of version of the song you want. If it's written well, it's going to basically come out anyway that you can hear it. I've heard people do, you know, reggae versions of great songs, and they still sound, nothing against reggae, but it's like sometimes it doesn't, not everybody likes reggae, or they can do a country version of a song and not everybody likes country. It's just one of the things. A lot of metal bands do pop songs, and not everybody likes metal. It's the fact where a great song is a great song. Why do you think these bands cover that? Because they just like the song, and it's some songs just a lot of people like. So, but again, it's one of them songs that Phil Collins has a particular drum sound that he's established over the years, with the no heads on in the bottom of the toms, which is not nothing new, but then the gated sound. But that's Phil's sound. Like I said, you're not going to, unless you play that kind of kit with the open bottoms, you're not going to replicate that sound completely. But, you know.
What do you got? What's next?
What's next? You guys won't even believe me that I have it on the list, but Rush's Tom Sawyer is on my list.
Never heard of it.
I know. I know you haven't.
It's not a fan.
Liars from hell. it did make my list. Geddy Lee believes it to be their defining piece of music. Let's just be real. Neil Peart's drumming is like some of the best ever. Up there with probably higher than Bonham in some people's cases. And I'm not a fan of Rush, but this definitely made the list because I do air drum to this song when I listen to it, which is not often. It's if someone else is listening to it. And it is another one of the ones that are drummed, air drummed up there.
I put YYZ, like Tom Sawyer /YYZ. Okay. You know, same thing. You know, it's another one. I think they kind of, they're like the two great tastes that taste great together.
Peart's patterns are just memorable. So that makes it for probably a lot of their songs are air drummed, I would assume.
Yeah. Yeah. I talk about YYZ or Tom Sawyer?
Yeah, I mean, those are both on my list, actually. You could also do it with Fly By Night. They've made a freaking commercial of a guy.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah.
I mean, you could do it like a lot of those songs. Anything off of like the, you know, Limelight, I've seen people do. If you watch the movie Adventureland, there's a kid in that movie that air drums the Limelight. He's trying to pick up chicks. So it's one of them things where, I mean, definitely guy that's going to be on the Mount Rushmore rock drummers. I don't get into the whole pissing contest of who's better than who. I can give a shit, but they're all doing it. They're great. Guy that we lost this year, unfortunately, it's just one of them, you know, things where once someone passes away, you kind of just start to get the old, you know, retrospect going of like, oh man, remember this tune, remember that tune. That's another song too that you could actually drum groove to you could air drum to the groove of the song, which is an awesome groove, and then also the middle section, which is more like the solo, where you could actually drummed the shit out of that too. So you're getting like, you know, pretty much the bigger, better deal, bang for your buck kind of deal there. So it's it's a great song. So sometimes you pick a song and you're like, oh, the drum pattern's really cool, but the rest of the song blows. But that's, in this case, that's not it. And YYZ is the same way, where you're, you know, starting with the what is it, the call signal for the Toronto airport.
Yeah. So let's moving off of this. So let's just say Tom Sawyer / YYZ / Fly By Night / Limelight
/ Rush
/ Rush. give us another one, because it is actually your turn.
Okay, let's see here. Let me hold on a minute.
Hold on. While Keith's doing that, real quick, dude, I want to tell you guys about Wolf's Customs. Go to wolfscustoms.online. Get yourself a custom finish on your musical instrument. You do great work. Chris Thunderwolf Dotson's a stand-up guy. He's going to take care of you. Also, please go to lulombardimusic.com if you like what you're hearing. I've got a free EP for you guys and some cool stuff there. So check that out at lulombardimusic.com. And a shout-out to Rock Rage Radio. Rock Rage carries the show. And we do appreciate that. We love you guys. Lily has her own show on Rock Rage.
I do.
So it's a good place for if you love great guitar-driven rock. You got your you ready to go, Keith?
Yeah, there's so many though. I'm going to go with this one. I think this one here, it was a instrumental hit, but it also had a drum solo, and it's called Frankenstein. I think it's one of the ones that you could actually, people get into that drum solo section, and I think it's one of the ones I've seen played at, once again, sporting events, concerts in between acts or whatever. And when it comes to that solo breakdown, it's just, you see a lot of hands moving. So it's definitely one of those ones. And this is, I think the guy that played drums on this actually died not that long ago.
Rest in peace, guy. Frankenstein guy.
Chuck Ruff. Don't quote me on this. I've seen some kind of little bit about it, but I don't know if he died October of this year or last year, one of the two. So.
Okay. Next on my list is another sort of twofer, not because these songs are done by the same band, but because the drum beats are very, 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 very similar, if not completely identical. I don't want to say identical because there's a drummer in house who will correct me if I am wrong. But the two songs are Come On, Feel the Noise and We're Not Gonna Take It. Very, very similar drum beats that people air drum to all the time. Very cool beats. But very, 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 very similar. And I think they both beats serve the kind of the songs in the same way. They kind of create the same kind of atmosphere in both songs. So not to, you know, and that is, of course, Come On, Feel the Noise. I'm thinking speaking to the Quiet Riot version, and We're Not Going to Take It, as performed by Twisted Sister. Yes. Yes. So I just wanted to kind of throw that out there. You guys, you know the songs, right, Keith?
Of course.
Boom-tch, 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 boom-tch. Come on, feel the noise.
You know, not...
And We're Not Going to Take It. Boom-tch, boom-tch. We're not going to take it. It's kind of the same, almost the same beat.
Well, you're getting that. I mean, there's a lot more to the Twisted Sister one. He's actually putting, there's a cowbell in there, and he's actually playing like a, like almost like a like four stroke rough thing at the end, not to get too technical, which they call Bucket of Fish, which is a right, left, right foot, if you want. So,
be corrected.
I mean, there's a lot more to the Twisted Sister one. I mean, that definitely the, they're both iconic intros, and but the Frankie Benelli Quiet Riot one is a little bit more straightforward.
Basic.
And
rest in peace, Frankie.
I think it's AJ Perro plays on the
look at with, you with your drummer knowledge. You
I'm
must
pretty
know
good at that
my
shit.
Drums, yeah. Anyways, I have those on there. Cool backbeats. We're Not Going to Take It. Apparently, I've been being told now. I'm getting a message. We're Not Going to Take It. I'm being told has a cowbell in it and some additional beats. And that correction will be in tomorrow's edition. Thank you very much.
Wow. There it is.
What do you got, Lily?
My last one is Slayer, Raining Blood.
Slayer!
Because it's explosive in your face. And I mean, even though I know I screw that one up to the end of time, it's still fun to air drum. So thank you, Dave Lombardo.
And he's got a good name.
Yes. It's close.
He's a good paisan, like Frankie Benelli.
That's right. Another guy just passed away.
What's the matter with everybody dying?
Sad. Well, they're all getting old.
I think some of them knew 2020 was coming, and they were like, you know what?
Out.
Nah, I'm done.
Done.
I ain't even messing with that. Neil Peart was probably smart. He's probably like,
it's like,
screw
I can't.
This. I'm out of here.
I'm out of here at the beginning.
Not even going there. you want to mention? You got any others on your list, Keith? You want to hit? We're down to about 10 minutes.
I got a ton, man. But yeah.
Oh my! Oh my! Oh my!
One that I think is really cool is we're gonna go all Dave Grohl on your ass. Everlong's a really, really cool one. You know, it's just one of them ones where I do think Taylor Hawkins is on that track, but Everlong just has a really infectious groove to it, and it's harder to play than it sounds, and it's pretty quick, and it's definitely has a cool feels, and it's very dynamic. And you can also put, you know, Smells Like Teen Spirit in there. The intro is cool, and he bashes away that whole song. That's Grohl on that track. Any of the Queens of the Stone Age stuff, no one knows. Stuff like, you know, these are all great songs that I think that he's known for. So any of those can be air drumming classics.
Air drum classics. Okay, I got one. There's probably on neither one of your lists or never thought of, and that is Train by Blackfoot.
I did not put that on my
list.
People
air drum to that all the time. The drums in that, the drum beat in that is very, very cool. I don't know like how technical it is or how great of a drummer that the drummer is, but that you see people doing that, you know, like kind of like thing on the snare, you know, as the song's playing. People air drumming to it all the time. Especially like a place like Rinky Dinks when it comes on the jukebox. You know, that in that kind of place. You know, these like, what are they, like honky tonks and places like that.
Roadhouses, honky tonks, dive bars.
Yeah, those people air drum to Train all day long. What do you got, Keith? You want to throw a couple more around? I got a few more. But go ahead. Go back.
Yeah, I'm going to go out of the rock genre for a minute because, I mean, this is the most sample groove of all time. But, I mean, this beat is just sick. It's probably the sickest thing I've ever heard played on the drums. It's James Brown's Funky Drummer with Clyde's double filled on it. That's just ridiculous. Probably it's so bad it should be in detention. But I mean it's a great drum groove, and it's just something you can. I mean, the song's freaking 9 minutes long, and he plays the same sort of vibe the entire song. So I mean, how his wrist stayed on, or his hand didn't fall off, or the entire arm actually is amazing. But that's just an infectious beat that just I think just stands the test of time. And I think it's been sampled more than any other beat of all time. So it actually was the beginning of what hip hop would end up being beat wise. I mean, I think it introduced the world to what it would end up being hip hop, and that's why it was sampled so many times, because they could just. That it's so straight and just precise that you could just flow right over top of it.
Proto hop.
Yeah.
What about this one, Keith? Message in a Bottle. I've seen people like,
didn't even
wailing
make,
away around on that, you know, when that comes on the radio too, you know, trying to hit all that. Nobody can hit all that Stuart Copeland stuff, but you know what I mean? It's got a really infectious groove, and I, you know, I find myself tapping that out on the steering wheel if it comes on the radio.
Oh, for sure. And it actually didn't make my list, but I mean, it's one of my favorite bands, but it's something, like I said, it was probably a tune I really just didn't think of. There's just so many, you know,
What do you got? You got another one?
I think this one's kind of like that in the air and thing where it actually is a loop until it comes in the middle. Then you almost just have to drum away, which is Kenny Arnoff's break in Jack and Diane by Mellencamp.
Oh, yeah.
That's just an awesome break, man. It's just very, yeah, it's so dynamic.
Kenny Rock.
Actually, that middle section is so
that's
awesome.
That's a good one, Keith. I totally forgot about it.
Kenny Arnoff actually told the story of, he was at some drummer festival somewhere when that album came out, and he was like doing a clinic or something. And Vinnie Colaiuta was in the room and was like looking at him. He was like, "Oh, you're the guy that then he air drummed the Jack and Diane thing." So that's something I would have been like, "Yes, I can go rest in peace now." That had to be the thrill of his life right there, to have the greatest drummer of all fucking time tell you that, "Hey, you're the guy that does the boom, boom," and then he air drummed the entire thing for him. So that's pretty cool.
John Mellencamp. Yeah, that's a good one. That's definitely a good one. Okay, here's another one. This drummer, I think you respect a lot. He passed away, but I have on my list "Hold the Line" / "Rosanna" by Toto.
I love me some Toto.
And There's some, you know, you definitely can drum along to that all day long.
Yeah, all that stuff is just iconic, man. I mean, he's such, you know, one of them great group players of all time. That's just, I mean, anything he does is going to be probably just grooving its ass off. But I mean,
you see people when that kicks in, bop 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 bop. You hear people, you see people hitting them cymbals right along with him, bop 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 bop. Meet you all the way. You know, like people are hitting that. You know, that's
for sure, man.
Yeah,
for sure.
What do you got? You got. We got. We got like, we can do like one, two more.
I'm gonna go some old school hair metal on your asses right now. Believe it or not, Dr. Feelgood by Motley Crue is a great drum groove. A great drum groove. I think it's probably my favorite Tommy Lee track. I like Wild Side's another one that's really good. All the stuff off Shout Devil's awesome. But it just reminds me of like being a kid trying to play along to that stuff. I mean, that's I would try to play. Like when I first time I ever heard Red Hot, I thought it was like, oh my God, I don't know how I could ever play this. And meanwhile, you know, you break it down and it's simple at this point in your life. But it's like, but when he played, I don't know, was something about the cool syncopation between the kick, snare, and hat on the intro to Dr. Feelgood, or was it just the way the drum sounded so big on that track?
Booming at the, yeah, the intro is pretty
big.
Yeah,
it's just a really amazing sounding track, and he really sounds really good on that. Not on that track, but the entire album. I think that's one of my favorite, like, Tommy Lee moments. I think that the songs maybe aren't as strong as the first two records, but I think that that song, the title track of that album, is pretty badass, and his drums sounded great on that recording. That's just a good track, man.
When we did our Motley Crue thing, we did, I know that Dr. Feelgood was on my list of like one of my favorite tracks by them. But hey, guys, you've been listening to Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Lily, when is your show again?
Thursday night, 6 p.m. Eastern, Hot Licks with Lily 6, rockrageradio.com, or download the free app, Rock Rage Radio.
Rock Rage Radio. A couple shout-outs today, birthday shout-outs. On this day in 1944, Bette Midler was born.
Oh,
shit.
Yep. Eric Bloom was born on the same day in 1944. Vocals and guitar for Blue Oyster Cult. Maybe you heard of those guys?
That's why I didn't know it.
Bach.
This guy. Speaking of drummers, John Densmore was born on this day.
Jazzy John, all right.
Yep. From the Doors. And here's a guy you know, another guy you know, Keith. This is the birthday, 1951, Jaco Pastorius was born on this day in 1951. Amazing bass player.
He's the GOAT, man.
Yeah, I mean, known as a jazz musician, but played with people like Joni Mitchell and people like that. So, like, very talented dude. So,
that's probably the tops when it comes to bass playing. That's the man.
And on this day, December 1st, 1957, Buddy Holly and the Crickets appeared on the Ed Sullivan Show, performing That'll Be the Day and Peggy Sue. Oh, Sam Cooke was also a guest on the same show performing You Send Me. Wow, to be in that audience, huh?
Imagine that, double bill.
Just incredible. So, guys, thanks for hanging out with us on the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Keith, anything you want to share? I know you said you were at a rehearsal. New project coming up we need to know about, or what's going on?
I got all kind of projects, man, but I'll let you know when they're coming out. Who knows when?
All right, cool.
Whatever the law allows, you know?
Whatever the law allows. All right, guys, and please go to lulombardimusic.com. It's all kind of cool stuff there. I got a free EP for you can download, and a lot of fun stuff you get on the list, and we send out some cool music and things like that. We try to keep you entertained throughout your week. You can always find us on all the places, including rockrageradio.com, but you can play. We have over 600 podcasts. You can find them on Spotify, Apple Music, we're on iHeartRadio now, Podbean, Player FM, any place you like to listen to podcasts, you can find us, and YouTube as well. So please check it out. Please leave us a review. Leave me a review. Send me a screenshot of it if you want to email me. If you sign up for If you go to LouLombardiMusic.com, I'll get your email, and you can email me, and I can see it. But send me your review of the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, and I'll give you a riff for a review, and you can make a ringtone out of it or do whatever the hell you want to do.
Yeah. R for R.
What was that?
R for R.
R for R.
Riff for review.
Riff raff. All right, man. Anything else? You guys cool? We good? We feel good for this week? You think it was
a
good show?
I feel great. I feel like...
I feel good.
I feel like $100.
That's it?
I think that's as good as you're going to get right
you're
now.
Cheap.
All right. All right. And on that happy note, you guys have a great week, and we'll catch you all on the next Ludini Rock and Roll Circus.